2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In Thessalonians, Paul is talking to the church, and he's, as Paul often does, giving them some words to grow by. And Paul's heart was, even though Paul was more of an evangelist, his heart was the heart of a pastor, to see not just the church grow in number, but the people grow in the Lord. And today, I think this message is very needful, because the world, the flesh, and the devil has a lot of saved folks on the ropes. And it's not, you know, I know we're not being beheaded or having our hands chopped off for carrying a Bible or doing this or that. We've got the ability to go out and preach on the street, hand out tracts, proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, and people might get upset. They're probably not going to throw you in jail for it. I mean, I understand that, but the spiritual part of it is immense and intense. And Paul, if anybody ever understood that, Paul did. And beginning in chapter number 1, verse 1, give me 1 second here. I apologize. I have I was opened up to 2 Thessalonians, or 1 Thessalonians, we're supposed to be in 2nd, so I apologize. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. Wherefore, also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now we look at this passage, and oftentimes these two chapters, especially chapter number 2, is misrepresented. And I want to look at that today. And beginning in verse number 1 of chapter 1, though, Paul is telling them, grace unto you and peace from God our Father, and talking about being thankful for them. He's encouraging the saints. And today, boy, if I could encourage you to keep going, I would do so. I want to do so today. I want to encourage you to keep going for the Lord. The world, look, the bigger the dumpster this world becomes, the more Christ wants to use you to glorify Him. I believe there are less people trying to glorify Jesus Christ today than there were 10 years ago. I believe there are probably less people wanting to glorify Jesus Christ today than there probably were 10 months ago. And I believe what's going on around the world, this false sense of religious righteousness and goodness or what have you, I don't know how exactly to frame it, but you know, everybody's talking about God, but very few people are lifting up Jesus Christ and saying, hey, it's about the death, the burial, and resurrection, and bragging on Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son that went to Calvary and died and shed His blood and come back out of that grave. I mean, you hear a lot of generic talk, and praise the Lord that people are even looking for a God now besides themselves, but we don't need a generic God. We have the God, and that God is Jesus Christ, amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and Jesus Christ, the Word of God, God spoke things into existence, and God said, let us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, make man in our image. We don't serve a created being of a God. We serve an eternal God that's eternal in both directions. And there are very few people out there that have enough doctrinal understanding to realize that they're following probably the wrong God when they mention the word God. The things of God are spiritually discerned. You have to have the Spirit of God to understand and rightly divide the Bible. Without the Spirit of God, this is just a book. A book that can tell you're lost, and a book that can tell a lost person how to get saved. But it's a confusing book to a lost person. It's a confusing book to a saved person that doesn't try to rightly divide it. You can get lost in one chapter, saved in the next, lost again, and maybe you have it, maybe you don't. When you rightly divide the Word of God, you understand Jesus Christ died for sinners, and after His death, after His blood was shed, there's a New Testament, and now we're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And to all my dear brothers in Christ that preach that everything's always been the same since Adam, they're wrong. There's no New Testament without the blood of the testator. Everybody in the Bible didn't get saved by looking toward Jesus Christ. The folks in the Old Testament had a responsibility to keep the law and get right with God and be right with God and die right with God. When you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you've already died right with God because you've judged yourself dead and you've judged yourself unworthy and you've judged Him righteous and worthy and you get His righteousness. Paul was encouraging the saints. Look at verse 4 and 5. So that we ourselves glory in you in the church of God, for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. He was talking and trying to encourage the saints, and they were suffering saints. You know what the devil does? A lot of times, he'll get you to create your own suffering. So you're not suffering for the Lord, you're suffering for being a fool. Amen. Oh, Lord, the woman thou gavest to be with me. I told you this is going to be the last week we're hitting marriage very hard, but I'm going to hit it hard today. You'll vote me out tomorrow, amen. You can have a private meeting and just send me a text, and I'll be on my way. Oh, Lord, the woman thou gavest to be with me. Oh, that man, if he just, oh, that one. And you could get the old cycle of suffering going where you forget about Jesus Christ. That's what we talked about in Sunday school. You want a place to start to make your marriage better? Here it is. Ephesians chapter number 5, we talked about that in the marriage thing this morning in Sunday school. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about God using the washing of the water by the Word to present His bride to Him clean. Husband, you want your wife to be better? Read the Bible with her. Wife, you want to be better for the Lord? Read the Bible by yourself. Husband, you want to be better for the Lord and your wife? Read the Bible by yourself. Take a minute or two or three every day, sit on the couch beside your bride, beside your husband, and say, look, we're going to pray, and we're going to read a Bible verse or two, and we're going to ask the Lord to bless it and glorify Him and help us to glorify Him. And maybe that's the only time you glorify Him today, but at least you did it for a few minutes. Amen? And the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You know what it'll do? A sword will cut out the garbage and it will replace it with some good godliness. Amen? Like I told you before, I didn't know. It's a good thing. Get yourself a Bible verse that speaks to you and make it your verse. God might change it later, but make it your verse. Like I told you in earlier, I was really surprised to know that my wife's new verse was, Thou shalt not kill. I don't understand where she's going with that, but mine is also, Thou shalt not kill, amen. I joke, maybe she'll get a new one. He that endureth in the end shall be saved is probably her new one, amen. But get yourself a Bible verse. Get yourself a prayer life. You say, well, I'm not asking you to be Billy Sunday or D.L. Moody. I'm asking you to start where they started, on your knees for 5 seconds. The Lord, help me to pray. Start somewhere. If you're going to the grocery store and you don't get in the car and turn the key, you never get there, amen? If you're going to be better for the Lord and glorify the Lord, you're going to have to start somewhere. And the best place to start is on your knees in front of that Bible right there. Open that book up and read something. Like I said in Sunday school, I would choose, if you don't know where to start, take Psalm 146 through 150 and just read one of those every day about praising the Lord. You know what you're going to find real quick? You probably haven't been praising Him. Amen. You're probably going to find out real quick after you pray and you open the Bible and start reading about praising the Lord that you are a little bit guilty of not praising the Lord. Amen. So, man, David, he sure messed up, but he sure knew how to praise the Lord. He sure knew how to get right with God. He knew how to praise the Lord. But separate yourself from the world for a few minutes. Separate yourself from all the garbage going on and stop the cycle of craziness that we get in sometimes as couples and as Christians and just say, look, we're going to take this time. We're going to give it to the Lord. Lord, husbands, pray, Lord, give us a few minutes that we can try to glorify You together. We can unify together for these few minutes to ask You to help us to bring You honor and glory, if nothing else, as a husband and wife for a few minutes today. Amen. And you don't have to understand all the Bible, but it's all good. It's all helpful. Paul was encouraging the saints. He was looking at saints that were suffering. He was looking at people that were being threatened to be beheaded and imprisoned and abused. And probably some of them were probably threatened to be crucified and hands cut off. Well, probably the things that are going on in some of the third world countries today. A lot of that stuff was going on back then and even worse. He's looking at these people that were suffering persecution for the cause of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, I want you to be encouraged to keep going for the Lord. I think what Paul really meant, I'm not trying to rewrite the Bible, but I can just kind of get this out of there. No matter what everybody else does, stay focused on Jesus Christ. You know why I believe that? Because there were people trying to draw them away from the truth and put them in bondage of a lie. You get through 6 through 9 and look at verse 9 or 6. Seeing it as a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. We see the encouraging of the saints. They were suffering. The saints were well. Now we see the vengeance of the Lord. The Lord is going to fix this. Donald Trump's not coming in fiery vengeance to fix this. I believe at best Donald Trump was just used to pump the brakes a little bit to stop us from becoming a full-blown communist nation that we were probably headed in within 2 years. But the Lord's going to fix this. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He is going to exact vengeance on the unrighteous, the persecutors. Look at verse 10. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith. With power. We see the purpose of the saints to glorify God. to glorify God. It's all about Him. No matter what happens in this world, we're going to spend an eternity in a good place instead of a lake of fire because of Jesus Christ. Amen? This world's temporary. Painful, but temporary. Temporal. These things are temporal. Paul's saying, hold the line. Don't move the boundaries. Don't change the doctrine. Don't be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Mind yourself to read this book and anchor yourself to truth and keep marching on toward Jesus Christ, the purpose of the saints. Look at verse 1 in chapter number 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. There's the receiving of the church. That's the rapture right there. But you know what he's talking about before that? He's talking about the second coming when Jesus Christ comes back and rains down vengeance on the enemy. Now he's talking about don't worry about that because we're getting out of here. Look at verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We see the steadfastness of the saints. He said, look, don't be shaken. Don't be knocked off course. Don't believe this baloney that people say, well, you know, the end of the world's tomorrow. You ever have people tell you that? I think we're at the end of the world. Well, let me tell you, we've got at least 1,007 years before this world burns to the, not to the ground. The elements will melt with a fervent heat. It's going to be gone. There won't even be a remnant of the curse left. It's going to be gone forever. New heaven, new earth, new thing. And you get, he says, don't be get caught up in the lie. The Lord's going to come back and just burn this place down tomorrow. That it's going to get so bad that you won't be able to take it because he's calling us out of here. We are leaving before that. The church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ is going to be called out before that. Verse 4, talking about the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. So we're going down through here. We're seeing the deception from below. You know what the devil's going to do? He's going to come up and take that throne, and he's going to deceive people. But Paul already said, we're going to be out of here. Amen? Now I'm going to tell you something. This is what I believe. You don't have to believe what I believe, but I'm going to tell you why I believe what I believe, and you'll at least believe that I believe what I believe because I believe it from the book. Amen? You might not believe what I believe, but you're going to believe I believe it. When it says here, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he now letteth the let, till he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. I don't believe that has anything to do with the church at all. I believe we're already out of here, and that wicked's revealed halfway through the 7 years of Daniel's trouble, Daniel's people, Jacob's trouble. That's when the wicked's revealed. Everybody tries to say that's the rapture's hinging on that verse. I don't see that. I don't see that at all. The second coming is coming right after, within 3.5 years of that wicked being, he's not revealed at first. He comes in as an angel of light. He's going to fix everything. For the first time ever, rockets aren't fired into the new city over there, Jerusalem. They're not fired into there, and everybody's saying kumbaya. And you know what the great falling away is? I don't believe it's the church. I mean, the church is all messed up. I guarantee you the great falling away of the church age has happened. There's very little truth left. I think the great falling away is when everybody says, yeah, bring your rainbow flag into the synagogue. Bring it all together. I guess I don't know, it's the Vatican. I think maybe the Vatican has a worship altar for the Muslims now or some crazy thing. I don't know. say, well, that's hard to believe. Why? They've been on the same side since day one. You know, it's not a big jump to believe that. I believe it's going to be kumbaya. The devil's going to say, can't we just all get along? They'll probably have the same hairdresser Joel Osteen has, amen? Can't we just all get along? And then I'm going to fix this. There's going to be peace, kumbaya, and we'll just worship. You worship the way you worship in the Abrahamic Father house. You worship the way you want to worship. I'll worship. We'll all worship together. The main thing is that we all get along. And the Jews are going to be happy. They're going to be, woo, we got no rockets coming in here. It looks like we got our temple going. Everything's looking good. And he's going to stand up in the middle of that thing, and they're going to realize that wicked's going to be revealed. And after that happens, Jesus Christ is going to come back, and he's going to take care of Israel. He's going to take care of the enemy, and he's going to preserve that remnant of Israel and take them on into the millennial reign. I don't believe that has anything to do with us, the man of sin being revealed. I think he's going to be revealed halfway through the tribulation. I don't think we're going to be here, and I think nobody else is going to realize who he is until halfway through, except some of the remnant of the Jews that are reading the New Testament, probably, that realized Jesus Christ was their Messiah, and they need him back. That's what I think. And I'm telling you that because, like I say, you don't have to believe what I believe. I just want you to believe that I believe what I believe. I'm telling you that because we aren't looking for the Antichrist to show up. We're looking for Jesus Christ to call us out of this place, and then the Antichrist can do his thing, whatever the Lord allows, and then he'll be done with. Halfway through that 7 years, he's going to expose himself to the world, and they're going to have to make some decisions. I'm glad we've made ours on this side. The deception from below. He's going to come up and say, I'm God, just worship me and I'll make everything peace. Remember Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace? They'll get a guy come back that brings peace by kumbaya. Everybody get along. But Jesus Christ is going to bring peace with a rod of iron because men are so messed up. Then look at verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. They should believe a lie. We've seen the deception from below. That's the Antichrist. Now we see the delusion from above. God the Father says, you don't want me? You don't want my son? You don't want to do it my way? I'll just let you believe it. I'll send you the delusion. So would God do that? Sure he would. Remember what he did to Saul? He sent him an evil spirit because Saul wouldn't get right with God. David was in a similar situation, but he chose to get right with God. God sent an evil spirit on Saul. He's going to send delusion to people that he's done with, that they believe that lie. The deception from below, the delusion from above. Look at verse 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There's the destruction of the ungodly. What am I talking about? Well, jump back to chapter number 1. Verse number 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. That's the second coming. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The people that don't obey the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, are going into the tribulation. And right there is going to be flaming vengeance on them that didn't know God in that time. You know what he's telling them? They're saying, Lord, I can't take any more of this. This is too much. Stop them. He says, don't worry. I am going to exact vengeance on the enemy. Right now, just hang on, and I'm going to call you out of here. And then I'll even the score. We don't have to worry about evening the score. God's going to do it. Righteous judgment. Seeing it as a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Isn't that something? Paul's telling the church, the people that are your enemy right now, they're not just your enemy, they're God's enemy. And unless they get saved and get on board, they're going to go into the tribulation and I'm going to take care of them. Amen? So I don't know how much worse it's going to be, and everybody go get 5 million internet basement preachers on there telling you the end of the world's coming. It could be any minute. Billy Bob's comet's coming. The glaciers are melting. The glaciers are freezing. All this stuff's going on. global warming, global cooling, global thermostat problem, whatever they've got going on now. It's all going to end the world. And the Lord says, don't worry about all that stuff. Why is that? Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, I beg you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together into Him, the rapture. What's he begging them? That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. That judgment's not coming right now. You're not going to be part of that. You're not appointed to wrath. I'm going to call you all out of here, and then I'm going to exact judgment on the unrighteous. Amen. Just keep doing what you're doing. Unless you're doing something wrong, amen, quit that. Or you're not doing something you should be doing, add that. But just keep praying and reading your Bible and showing up in church and being a blessing one to another. Praying for folks, praying for each other. God's got this. He's not biting his fingernails off figuring out how this is going to end. And we shouldn't be either because he gave us the ending. Amen? Paul said, look, calm down. Take a break from all this worry and put your faith in the second in the rapture and the fact that the second coming he's going to take care of all of it. Amen. You realize how deceived and or wicked somebody has to be to tell you there's no rapture when it's all over the Bible? There are raptures in the Old Testament, by the way. Elijah. Enoch. Enoch type of the church. What they're doing is they're trying to get you to quit. It's going to get so bad, there's nothing you can do about it. You're going to take the mark. They're going to control your food. They're going to, I mean, most of us can't control our food anyway. I don't want to hear anything about how much chicken I ate yesterday either. But we don't have to worry about that. If they went to digital currency tomorrow and you couldn't buy food and you asked the Lord for his will to be done, it'll be done. He'll take care of your food. If he lets you starve, maybe he'll let you starve out preaching on the street, bragging on him to your last breath. Either way, we win. My destiny and my peace or lack of doesn't hinge on Joe Biden or Donald Trump. It hinges on putting my faith in Jesus Christ or not. Not just for salvation, but for getting out of here. If I drop dead right now, I know where I'm going. If he calls us out before 1 o'clock, I know where I'm going. Do you? If you don't, you better call on the Lord before it's too late, sinner, because it'll be too late when the rapture happens. Just call on the Lord and escape the wrath of God. I wouldn't take that gamble for anything. For all of sin to come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death, to get to God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's not just saved your soul eternally, he's going to save you out of the wrath to come. Before, he's going to save you from it. He's coming back. That's what Paul said right in the middle of that passage we just read. That the second coming, the vengeance of God, he's going to do that, take care of all your enemies. He said, don't panic, don't worry, he's going to call us out of here, and then he starts talking about the second coming again. We're out of here. The crazier it gets, especially in the Middle East, the more I feel like we're getting out of here real soon. But the Lord's timing is the Lord's timing. Paul's saying, just stick with the truth. And set your face like a flint toward Jesus Christ. And just decide every day you're going to try to glorify him. Individually, as a couple, as a church. And wait for the Lord. Amen. That's it. Father, we love you and thank you for Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us to open your word. Open our hearts to this truth, Lord, and plant it deep in there, Lord. We know that you're going to call us out of here one day. We know that all these things the world is afraid of, they should be afraid of you. They should fear you, not global warming or global climate change or whatever they're fearing. All that stuff, AI and whatever. Lord, they should fear you because ultimately you're going to exact vengeance on the ungodly. And the only way to get out of that list of ungodly is to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ on our account. And thank you for it. Bless us through the day. Bless this church in a mighty way as we go forward. Just help us to see your hand and power, Lord. The world, we call it a miracle. We just call it everyday business with you. Help us. Walk with us, talk with us, carry us forward. And Lord, even so come, Lord Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name.